All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. Thank you for agreeing to record a little bit later than usual.
I'm so tired. Why did you wake me up?
Well, it's, I mean, I'm keeping real weird hours.
Okay.
Because as you know, as I texted you, I got a dog.
Oh, cool, I guess.
This is Cole. This is Cole the dog. I named my dog after you so I could yell at it and work out some stuff.
Okay, as long as it doesn't end up with me being yelled at, I guess. Okay.
I haven't confused you yet, but I did shave a picture of your face onto his side. So
like it was his basketball number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's been running around doing dog shit. He's an incredibly bad boy. He is
takes after his papa.
He does. Originally, I was going to name him Scout, and he was going to be a real good boy. But so he keeps licking his surgery scars. I had to put one of those cones on his head, and I was doing that to stop him from licking his ball. You know, like where I took away his the weeping, festering wound that I took away his man. But he's still clawing and scratching and digging, and he's been digging up in my backyard. And before I got him, I mean, the reason why I got this dog is to randomize. I buried a bunch of SNES carts in the backyard. And I'm gonna see which one of these he digs up, and then it's off to the pound.
This dog was made for randomizing.
Yeah, and then after we get the SNES cartridge out of him, we can either I can either train him,
okay,
or I can take him on down to the glue factory.
Oh no, where all of his I never got that.
Who is but... glue dog?
See, I never understood the horse and glue factory thing. It's their cartilage, just the gelatin and the bones and stuff. Like I never realized. Like, I don't know. In my head, I thought there was some kind of glue bladder.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't really think that.
I thought maybe you could also take them a horse down to the marshmallow factory, or the gelatin factory, because they make that out of horse bones and stuff. And we look down on Europeans for eating horse, but honestly, I eat horse three times a week on accident, kind of indirectly. And I mean, you little Cole the dog.
Who are you? Who's a good aspic? Who's a good aspic? Yes, you are.
It's going to be a little dog aspic. Go dig something up, you piece of... All right. He's got something. Let me get out of the cone here. He has found the cart family dog, the Brad Bird Classic.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, this damn okay. Okay, so depending on how good this game is, we'll decide whether we want to keep this dog or take him to Glue Factory. Text KEEP to 67232 if you'd like me to keep the dog, and text GLUE to 6732 glue if you want me to glue him.
Yep. Are we going to send him along with that motorcycle party that's passing by yet?
Yeah. Oh, he chased him. He's gone.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Never mind. No more dog. I'm bad.
Fuck.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah, and this week we're talking about a thing I had no idea existed. So this is Family Dog. This is a game that has been dictated to us by our good friend, Frothyham.
Oh, hey, Frothyham.
Yeah. And he says, yay, random licensed SNES platformer of dubious quality. I don't know why I remember playing this game. I'm not even sure I ever saw the TV show.
I knew about this.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Because you were a bird head?
I'm actually significantly not. I'm the one person on Earth who doesn't really like Pixar that much.
Yeah.
Because of Hardcore Gaming 101, their weekly Kusoge kind of feature, it showed up on there.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, family. And then I also knew about Family Dog, the cartoon, because I saw it when it was on.
Okay.
And I didn't watch it or anything. I think it's an incredibly bad cartoon. And I think the original kind of Amazing Stories pilot is also really boring and bad too.
Yeah.
There's nothing I like about the Family Dog. but I never played the game before. I just knew there was a game.
Okay. Yeah. No, I played the game and then I did research and found out because Frothingham said like, hey, this is licensed. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. I honestly thought that this was part of that early 90s resurgence of like 1920s serialized comic strips. Like, hey, this is a proto Marmaduke. This is the Felix the Cat to Mickey Mouse or something.
Yeah, like the crazy cat Ignatz, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's much more of a Capital Critter Fish Police situation.
What?
You know? Like, oh, cool. You don't want the Capital Critters?
No.
Oh, buddy. Or the Fish Police?
No. Okay, well, no, now this is what this episode is about. Explain these things to me.
Well, I didn't research on those things. I just assumed a certain level of knowledge. The Capital Critters was an ABC animated show about a bunch of rats that was like a Washington DC parody.
What?
Like they lived in the basement walls of the White House and had their own little politics.
Rat Congress?
Yep.
What's the difference? Am I right?
Well, that was, you know, that was the kind of hard hitting satire we ran into with Capital Critters.
Okay. Holy shit. The series was part of a spate of attempts by major networks to develop a primetime animated show to compete with the success of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Alongside Fish Police and Family Dog.
Yeah, Fish Police, Family Dog, Capital Critters are all...
Like, it's the triumvirate.
It is the holy trinity.
Holy shit, Neil Patrick Harris was the voice of the lead on Capital Critters.
In Fish Police, Tim Curry voiced Sharkster.
Of course he did. Look at him. Of course he voiced Sharkster.
It's Calamari, sleazy, smooth-talking lawyer.
What the fuck?
Oh, man, I should watch Fish Police. I don't... Connie Coy?
Inspector Gill is voiced by John fucking Ritter.
Wow.
Hector Elizondo, what the fuck is going on? Ed Asner?
Yeah.
How could these fail with such star power?
Patrick Zimmerman?
Who the fuck is this Frank Castellaneta dude? Kick him to the curb.
That's so, yeah, it's very weird time. And out of all these, I think Family Dog is considered to be like the best well-meaning one, you know, the classiest one.
Okay.
It's not, there are no jokes in it though. Like, and that's true of the main version too. It's like, it's got that. Cause I kind of was half expecting when we rolled this up for you to be like, oh, Family Dog's really good. And watch the original kind of pilot for it, because it has that kind of thing that you appreciate in old cartoons where I think it's boring and there's not enough conflict. There are no jokes. It's just like,
it has that thing that you like and that it's bad and that you like bad things.
Yeah. Like your Woody Woodpecker or whatever. It's kind of gaggy. There aren't like, you know, it's just like, the animation is really good in the original thing,
yeah,
but nothing really happens, you know? You just kind of have to think it's kind of fun that, like, a dog, like, well, he really wants that bone.
Yeah, no, because, like, I watched, like, half of an episode, and I found it distinctly toothless.
Yeah, it's very bland. Yeah. Like, the Family Dog is, like, one of the blandest things.
Yeah, I've got no patience for there are a lot of things I don't have patience for, but just a straight up, like, hey, this is the foibles of domestic life kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, the specific weird thing about Family Dog is that, like, the family is real shitty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all, like, torturing this dog in their own way.
What if, like, a dog was abused? Like,
Jesus. You know,
it's just like the kids just like shooting him with like the main boy of this, like, that would be the dog's best friend, mm-hmm, is like the villain in Toy Story.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he looks like a little shit, like he's a little Dennis the Menace style shit. It's a very weird choice, you know. So
yeah, and like the little sister is abusing this dog. I guess the mom and dad are indifferent to his existence, possibly.
Yeah, the mom and dad are just kind of think it's a nuisance. Like, right. our kids own this dog they don't like. I'd prefer they don't have it, but I guess we're all just stuck with it through some kind of, like, some geese, like some kind of some market.
Well, okay, so let's turn this around and make it a sympathetic read. Maybe they just desperately want to get rid of this thing that will never go away. Like, instead of being the monkey's paw, it's the dog's paw, and it keeps coming
penny.
Back.
Yeah. Because he does come back. They bring it to the pound, and, like, it literally comes back.
Right. He homeward bounds.
Yeah, you can't get rid of Milo and or Otis, whichever.
Except they did several versions of them.
Yeah, exactly. The many corpses of Milo's and Otis's that are all clogging up that stream.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, there's a bunch of runoff from the factory.
That's a bunch of Milo runoff. Yeah. Oh, God. Homeward Bound.
How long do you think it will be before we can start just talking about Milo without thinking about Milo Chitbag? the bad Milo.
Yiannopoulos?
The last episode, yeah.
So, here's the thing. Like, he is a secondary lower Milo to me because I've got two Milos in my head. There is Milo Minderbinder from Catch 22, novel that I really enjoy. And then there was a stray cat in my college neighborhood who we fed cold cuts to. Because he was like a rat, he was like a ratty cold little cuts? Well, yeah, cold cuts. No, he would come up and he would stay at arm's length while we were out on the front porch smoking and stuff, smoking and reading, but he'd be there and like, hey, let's just feed you, little buddy, you know. And he was like just a shaggy kind of black and white cat, who unfortunately we had one of those neighborhood monsters who put out antifreeze because he didn't like the stray cats in the neighborhood. Yeah, no, it was fucking awful.
That's rough.
But yeah, I got rid of our friend Milo. He was he was around for like 2 years, then he was gone.
That sucks. Yeah. My ex-wife has a son whose name is Milo. And his father's name, I'm not gonna say his last name, but it sounds a little bit like Breitbart.
Okay.
So it's like that kid's got a rough rough go of it, right? Like,
I mean, nobody's gonna remember them.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the best solution. Just old people will be like, you know, I get a real shiver when that kid comes around.
Dennis's kid is named Milo. His youngest is named Milo. Cute kid.
There's nothing that the alt-right won't destroy, you know? So it's like, who knows? Like, there could be some shithead coming around whose name is like one of our names too.
Of course.
And it could just happen. Like, we could get ruined by association. Like, what, we get Pepe'd. Yeah. What were you saying about that before?
We were talking about a stream clogged with Milo corpses.
Oh, yes. Yeah. either kind. So this show, I saw this first on Amazing Stories. Did you ever watch Amazing Stories?
No, that was a little bit before. If I did, I didn't recognize it. I was more a Nicktoons kind of appointment viewing kind of kid around this time, 1993.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watched a lot of Nicktoons as well.
Yeah.
But I remember watching Amazing Stories when I was younger. And I remember watching this one, and it was during that time when like anything animated was good.
Of course.
You know, so like I'd watch like the Opposites Attract video like over and over because it's like, yeah, MC Scat Cat.
one of my favorite episodes of Mabim Bam is where they find the branding guideline for MC Scat Cat.
Like, oh, that's pretty funny.
The marketer written backstory for him and his values and what he holds dear.
Masters of Ceremony Scatting Cat. Yeah. You know, you get that. But I remember liking it then, you know. And then the cartoon came out, and this is not an unpopular opinion. Like, nobody liked the cartoon. It got canceled really quickly because of animation problems and stuff. But it's also so fucking boring.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I thought that so those animation problems when I was watching this, I thought that it was a YouTube glitch, just where like they would hang on a still image in the middle of like in the middle of a movement between poses. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's really weird. So I refreshed it, let it buffer, tried it again. Like, no, that's just how they pace stuff out. In the least intuitive way possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the amount of talent behind this was really ridiculous because it was like Steven Spielberg, Brad Bird, and Tim Burton.
Yeah.
All kind of coming together. And it's like, not that any individual, you know, one of those people I'm like super into.
Right.
But they are big names and they're not talentless hacks.
Yeah. If you put all of their talent and appeal together, they could possibly come out with something that might appeal to one of us.
Yeah, like something truly great, you know. Yeah. Like, they're good, you know. And this is before Tim Burton like started sucking super bad.
Yeah, this is
good Tim Burton.
Yeah, this is 93, so this might have been concurrent with something like Ed Wood.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Ed Wood's great.
Yeah, Ed Wood's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. The I went on a YouTube hole. I talked about it online. I don't think I've talked to you about it.
Okay.
About Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Because I realized it'd been a while since I'd seen Beetlejuice anyway, and I was like. Like, is there like Beetlejuice lore? And like, looked it up and was looking at the thing, and there's a wiki for it. There's not that much Beetlejuice lore. There's just kind of like list of his powers and stuff, and there's a little bit of like lore, like backstory stuff.
Yeah, most of it's probably from the animated series.
Yeah, so some of it's from the animated series. Some of it's putting together a couple clues from the movie. Like, some people think he's he was the assistant of the lady who hosts that that civil servant.
I could see that
thing.
Yeah.
Is he like, I guess, you know, they say he killed himself, things like that. The thing that I found though, like, Sean Elliott introduced me to the term like tube tolerance test, which is just a YouTube you have to watch and you can see how far you can get into it before. Like,
we do that at work all the time. Yeah.
Cool. Like, if you've seen the Fedoras Are Awesome video, that's like, that's a real good tube tolerance test. Cause that's really hard. It's really rough. Beetlejuice and Universal Studios has like a Rockin' Monster Bash.
Oh no.
That is a real good tube tolerance test. It's about 23 minutes and I got through 10 and I'm really surprised I did.
What's the name of that again?
Beetlejuice's, I think it's Beetlejuice's Rockin' Monster Bash.
Rockin' Graveyard Review.
There we go.
Yep.
I was close.
24 minutes. Yeah, this will go in the show notes.
Yeah, put it on in the background and don't you have to listen to it, but just kind of have it going. It's Beetlejuice walking around doing Beetlejuice shit, you know, making Beetlejuice jokes. Okay. Or, you know, not the real Beetlejuice, somebody doing an impersonation of him.
Ooh, this is 1999 when he was fresh.
And the it's him bringing out a bunch of monsters to play guitar and play covers of modern pop songs. It literally, the first song is "Let's Get Started in Here," and it's when it breaks into song.
Oh jeez! The moment it breaks into song is
really something, because it's like you're just watching him, just kind of do light patter, kind of flirting with the audience. It's like, you know, this feels like Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, you know, at least this is Beetlejuice. And the music starts off, and it just starts going, "Let's get it started." And it's like, oh my god, like, what is this? Yeah, it's excruciating. And then he brings out like a Frankenstein, a Dracula. Like, that's not like what Beetlejuice should be. I mean, I guess no. That's Universal Monsters, but Beetlejuice isn't friends with Frankenstein.
No.
He's his own thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, and this guy's hair is entirely off model. Like, he is not Michael Keaton's Beetlejuice, rather. This is totally animated series Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. It's extraordinarily rough. Like, it is a rough watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is bad, Gary.
It's one of the worst things like I've like seen. Like, although it's really, it would be really rough.
I've got to say, looking at this, for as bad as the quality of it might be, it would be really fun to be on stage as a Beetlejuice.
I think because depending on how much improv you could do,
okay,
you know, I could see it being kind of like inhabiting that character, being kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, but then you still have to, like, with a straight face be like, you know, and here's the, you know, here to take a bite out of rock. It's Dracula. You know, you have to, you're still gonna, you still have to be like the Green Goblin in that Freaks Like Me Company video. You know, I'm going to see if I can. I don't think I'll be able to. I'm going to try to see if I can get Brayton to do that. The Beetlejuice Rock and Halloween Monster review as a Teenage Dirtbags.
Oh, Jesus. That'd be like 25 minutes for you guys to talk about.
Well, I really, because we've done
well, you did Bicycle Safety School.
Yeah, we've done some longer things.
Yeah.
But I would really, really like to get through it. But you know?
You'd have to do it together. Like, you have to have a pact going almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I was very shocked to see the people that were involved in this. Like, Danny Elfman did the music, which isn't that surprising for that time and for the fact that what's his name, Tim Burton was involved. But like, I don't know that this should have been good, but it definitely
had better a pedigree. Than it turned out, yeah. Like, because the Amazing Story one, again, it feels like a bland cartoon to me.
Right.
Like, it's not bad. It's kind of well animated, but it's just kind of like, you know, like those Pixar shorts that happen before Pixar movies sometimes, where it's like, let's follow a piece of paper and journey through a day, you know, things like that. Like, it's like that.
Yeah.
You know, just like the kind of slice of life, inoffensive, animation thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the actual cartoon turns into super excrement, and we haven't even talked about the game yet, which is also incredibly bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah, this is a bad game.
Yeah. So again, this is a very blatant attempt to cash in on a thing they thought would be bigger than it was, probably developed alongside the main thing after the Amazing Story short, probably. Like, this is this is part of a multimedia kind of push, but they didn't get good people behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't get good people, specifically, like, didn't get good writers. And, like, all these attempts to cash in on The Simpsons didn't realize that The Simpsons was a good show. They were cashing in on the fact that it was animated.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, we can do this now. Let's just throw a bunch of garbage into a...
Yeah. Oh, no, I was talking about the game not having good people behind it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm looking at this, like, it was developed by Imagine... Oh, God, Dracula's out. sorry. Gary Dracula's here. Oh, yeah. No. And here's some kind of Phantom of the Opera character.
Yeah,
there's Wolfman.
There's a bride. There's a couple sexy ladies that come out. They're a little bit like Harley Quinns, but they're not quite.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Sorry. You told me to keep it on the background. You had to know this would happen.
I did. It's very distracting. So I'm gonna tape you saying that, uh-oh, Dracula's out, and then use it whenever I whip out my dick to piss. So just play it through the loudspeaker so all in the house know.
No, I was talking about the game. So this was developed by Imagineering Inc. They had a Moby Games entry. There's only one person who was involved in this who is still working, and he was primarily involved with Majesco doing like art direction for the Mama games, like Cooking Mama, Gardening Mama, etc.
Okay.
So let's see here. We got somebody. It's a real rogues gallery of stuff we've talked about. Christopher Will, who designed the Toys game.
Okay.
All right. Frank Lamb, who designed Home Improvement.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Rob Harris, who's done Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, which we haven't talked about, but we ought to. And Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2 is terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry. We got to talk about that as well.
Yeah. And he was head programmer on Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That is a rogues gallery. That's really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would it surprise anybody, given all of this that we've laid out, based on a cartoon, SNES early 90s kind of thing, that this is a licensed character-based platformer that is mostly about collecting stuff?
Yeah. I mean, you collect stuff just to refill your meters and shit.
Right.
You don't have to collect things to succeed.
You can just run right along the screen.
Yeah. And run through this like 70-mile long living room. Full of floating books and teleporting kids and stuff. And
yeah.
How many cats does this family have? it's really, really bad though. The platforming, if you jump while moving, you do like a one family dog with kind of real limp horizontal jump.
Mm-hmm.
If you jump without moving, you do this like gigantic leap straight up into the air.
Yeah. You do a Neo like Superman leap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, really hard to control. You have a bark that you only get like five of, and it takes minimum three to knock out any enemy.
Right. And you refill that by grabbing some bones. Yep. I love that his bark. So his bark is powered by food. Okay. Whatever. But he shoots out these sound waves. So I can just picture him being some kind of like weird sonic attack dog.
Like Black Bolt. Yeah, and then like Black Shuck. Yeah. And then that's really it. And then you just kind of have to make your way through. It's up to you how many collectibles you get. There's one little, if you get to the end of the kitchen stages, you get this like little fetch mini game. Did you get to the fetch mini game?
Yeah, I did. And it's not too bad. Like you go chase it, but the last one, it goes way too fast and you can't dodge. Like I was not able to dodge the obstacles enough to like catch up to it.
Yeah. You had to catch up to it before it hits his little sister.
Yeah.
Because again, you're playing as a little shit. You're owned by a little shit.
Right, right.
So you're a shit slave. So you have to get, you know, you just go and catch this ball while dodging obstacles on the way there. That part was kind of imaginative.
Mm-hmm.
You get past that eventually, or I did. And then you get sent to there's a little cutscene where you talk to the mom for a second. She gets mad at you. And then you get sent to the pound, which is a bizarre, entirely like vertical platforming section.
Okay.
Where you're like, after you get out of the pound, you're scaling the outside of this building, jumping from like gargoyle to gargoyle, trying to get up to a pipe so you can slide down to the bottom.
Huh.
Where like the commissar of like this, this pound is a German shepherd wearing clothes standing up. Like it's very weird. Like, and that's like the first nugget of anything like kind of funny or cute that happens in the game, and it's very hard to get to.
Yeah,
that's as far as I got. Like I fell down and saw him like on the ground, but I didn't make it
okay
the proper way. I watched on YouTube.
Is that like a Chicken Boo situation or an Octodad kind of thing where like nobody's noticed?
That would be funny, but I'm sure it's honestly just and then you go home like, and that's the game. I watched on YouTube. And it's all this super bad platforming with every other level being these really weird vertical platforming. Like after you go through this forest, you go through this tree section and it's all this like incredibly like precise vertical jumps with this LJN ask fucking controls.
Yeah. With just terrible inertia going on. Yeah. Like it reminds me of a less fast or like almost an entirely inverted Kid Kool.
yeah that's probably a good way to put it.
And at least the living room level involves a lot of like trampoline timing, And even yes. in Mario, which, you know, set out what a platformer ought to be, trampoline timing is not good.
Like, no,
it's one
no.
of the weaker sides of that.
Yeah, especially in Mario 1.
Yeah.
Like, Mario 1, it's pretty excruciating.
Yeah.
That's the only, I think it's the number one thing that makes Super Mario Bros. 2, the Japanese version, bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of down for that game, like, in general, but I think that the trampoline, like, the super precise trampolining in the wind
mm-hmm.
is just a little too fiddly to make it work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. when Frothyham suggested this game, I thought that we were going to be talking about Dog's Life. Did you ever play okay. that on PS2?
No.
So this came out around the time that I started working GameStop, and we would just put weird stuff in the PS2 demo unit at the front, as long as we knew a Sony rep wasn't coming. And Dog's Life is a game. It's like crazy third-party developed, done by Frontier Developments, who actually has done, looking at this, pretty much every Roller Coaster Tycoon game,
okay.
or at least all the sequels, and has made kind of a cottage industry. They did Thrillville, and they also did Planet Coaster, but they're also the developers of Elite Dangerous. But they made this kind of open world dog sim where, like, the key thing was you could enter this smell-o-vision mode, go first person inside of this dog, and then trace, like, these colored like smell clouds to, like, get to the things that you need to go. It was really interesting. It's not very substantial, but there is a button you can press to make your dog poop.
I'm looking at it now, and it looks interesting in the screenshots. The cover of it, I do not like the expression on this dog's face.
No,
he's got too much brow. Like, he's like pretty heavy lidded, like, dog.
Yep, he's given the realistic dog version of the DreamWorks sneer.
Yeah. That looks interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah,
that's
just
cool.
just one of those weird PS2 oddities that that were so common around, like, the early 2000s.
Into it. There's a little bit of kind of internet gold kind of in general about this, not gold, like, not even bronze probably. One, I just want to introduce a recurring segment to tell you everybody how many Lukey points you get.
What?
If you remember Lukey games, where you can buy this thing and you get Lukey points. That was from an episode a few episodes ago.
No recollection of Lukey. There we go. That's like that weird bootleg kind of like Gamefly kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If you buy this, you get 9 Lukey points. This one has reviews, though. This one gets 4 out of 5 stars. The title of this review is Family Dog. And if you like this game as a kid, you'll still like it now. So there's that review. There's a website called GameCola.net. And the only thing that's noteworthy about this guy's review of this, he gives it 1 out of 10 colas. There's a little cans of cola that he does. But the name for it is Not Safe for Work Family Dog.
Uh-oh.
And it's all tagged with, well, there's nothing not safe for work in this Family Dog review. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, when I found it, I was like rubbing my hands together, and I'm like, oh man, you know, like, this is, we did it, you know.
This is what we've been searching for 4 years.
Like, we got this half hour, like,
unlock.
And then it turned out, you know, it's superlatively safe for work.
Hmm.
You know, so
weird.
And then on GameFAQs, did you find this guy? There's two good GameFAQs reviews. One where this guy's talking about this thing called the SNES files, which I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But it has to be, because it's got this, like, there's this weird, Gecko Green wrote this review, and it is, it's really weird. Like, maybe English is not the first language, but he keeps talking about if it's part of something called the SNES files, and where he says, this game remakes the cartoon Family Dog, making the main character a dog. The game is, capital P, part of the SNES files, making it one of the unknown games italicized. So I'm like, what are you talking about? But that has
is
to be
it
a
like,
thing.
Is it like a like an X-Files kind of thing?
I'm sure that's what it's playing off of, but I bet you it's like an intolerable YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to guess. But if I put the SNES files into Google, I don't get anything.
No, it's like, how to open
there
SNES
it is.
Files.
I do, but it's an unpopular YouTube channel.
Ah, okay.
So it is the NES files along from the Nescapades. And the escapades thing. So that's what that is.
37 views.
Yeah, it's kind of weird this guy came across that. The better review, though, or the more interesting one, is the one by the amazing Larry. Did you find this guy?
I mean, does he share what's going on with the rest of us?
Well, he's very much a Tim Burton fan. So okay. It's like, I think that, you know, that's okay. Certainly intentional. So it's just an angry Game Factor review. Like, you know, the title of this review, a small, stupid, and obscure platformer based on an unpopular TV series guaranteed to offer nothing interesting. So he's just really, really cranky.
Yeah.
And you know, the review full of misspellings, really cranky. You get to the end, rent, buy, emulate. Don't even bother with this unless you're like me and my sister trying to assemble a Burton collection. I love it. Like, okay. So good.
Yep. Oh, gosh. It was a decent show, and the characters were designed by the great director Tim Burton. However much, like a lot of his better work, it was completely underappreciated, like his movies Ed Wood and Mars Attacks. Ed Wood wasn't underappreciated. Like, Martin Landau was nominated for an Oscar off of the back of that.
Like, people like talk about that game like a lot, like it is going to be, you know, like it's an undiscovered gem.
About Ed Wood?
Yeah. Okay. And it's not an undiscovered gem.
I would definitely play an Ed Wood game.
Oh man, like a sim.
Yep.
Like a movie, like the movies.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also he gave the game 2 stars or 2 hearts.
Yeah. With
that this is the stupidest thing that you can get. No, you know, thing of it. And his review, his other reviews, he has no reviews of any other Tim Burton things.
Oh,
so
weird.
When I saw The Amazing Larry, I was like, man, like this guy's gonna have, you know, something to share with the rest of us, and like he doesn't. It's just there's just this one little nugget about how he's trying to make his Tim Burton collection. And what does that mean in the world of games? Like the Beetlejuice NES platformer.
Okay.
The Batman SNES, the Batman Nintendo game.
Like, oh, that weird collection Batman of Big Fish screensavers that was sold for $10 at Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what? Like what is the Tim Burton collection for video games mean?
I mean, it's not an impressive part of his collection, but you know, for any true fan,
you can get all 3 games. Like, yeah, it's just a very weird hill to die on.
Oh man, he reviewed the first DLC for Alan Wake. God, I need to play that again.
He's Oops. Most of his other reviews seem like about right. To me, you know?
Just like kind of on just correct within reason.
Yeah like that seems about right.
Yeah,
no,
huh.
But and he's not even wrong about Family Dog. It is awful, but like it's just a very strange guy. That little kicker at the end helps.
Yeah. it definitely does help. Wow, he's one of the only people I know who or at the, that I've seen online acknowledge the existence of Kill Switch.
Oh yeah I know. I acknowledge the existence of that because it was a PSP exclusive for a while, right?
Like no, it was PS2. It was one of the first cover shooters.
There's not a kill switch for PSP?
Kill that switch?
Maybe.
Maybe you're thinking of Killzone. There was a kill.
I think I'm thinking of Killzone.
Yeah, there was a PSP exclusive Killzone. Yeah.
That is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Which I also didn't play. I was just looking through PSP games at some point when I was you know, trying to find it. So.
Do we have anything else to say about Family Dog? Because I've got a breaking news alert that we need to address.
I don't. But is it good to get into this breaking news alert now, or should we save it for the next episode?
Because
I have some prompts too if we need them.
It ought to be timely because who knows if there are going to be more developments, and we've only got about 25 minutes. So we at least need to address this because it was a topic of much discussion. So a couple of let's say about a week and a half ago, as of the time this episode releases, Shaq came out and apparently acted a fool.
Yes. He's since gone on though to say that he was kidding.
I believe him. I never lost faith in Shaq.
Yeah, I can walk you through my arc.
Okay.
Here, I believe him too, because I the alternative is nonsense.
Yeah.
The alternative. I mean, the alternative to believing him and not believing him.
Like, right. Yeah. So we should say exactly what this was. Shaq was on a sports podcast, and when asked about these other basketball stars, apparently, so there are two things that are distressingly common in the NBA right now. One of which is an addiction to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Everybody's eating PB&J sandwiches all the time out of superstition right now.
Okay.
It's like widespread. It's a current trend. The second thing is there are a lot of basketball stars who apparently are flat earthers.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Flat earth on, as far as conspiracy theories go, like is one of those ones that I think is like, probably like next level, like ridiculous. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're all ridiculous. Like, I don't believe in conspiracies. I feel like it's harder to keep a secret than people give it credit for.
Right, right.
You know, so it's like, you know, there's government cover-ups and shit, you know, yeah, but there's not, you know, not like fake moon landing government cover-ups, because think about how many people that would involve. Yeah. You know,
most conspiracy theories, at least the ones that you see and laugh at, are pretty much accounted for by just world fallacies and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and then, but then you run into something like the flat earth, where it's like, it's literally just, you know, like, we've invented our way out of this conspiracy theory.
Right.
You know, like, you just, like, you get on a plane.
Yeah. And you see stuff like the Flat Earth Society was started as a joke, and then all of a sudden people who genuinely believe it took it over.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what a silly, you know, what a terrible conspiracy it is, because, like, what's the advantage?
Yeah. Well, it's like, Hollow Earth or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would, like, those are D&D settings. Like, you're just doing some campaign workshop. And, like, I just don't know what... Do you know what flat earthers, why they think that there's a cover up? Like, what's the advantage to saying the earth is round?
I don't know. It's kind of like chemtrails. There are chemicals, but what are they trying to do with them?
Well, the chemicals, it's like that plays into all kinds of stuff. Like, it's paranoia. Well, it's about the government controlling our minds with chemicals.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, the flat earth is that it's a cover up for the sake of cover up, that there is an elite kind of Illuminati style organization that is doing this for some kind of nefarious purpose. And there are all kinds of guesses, something about maybe population control, maybe something having to do with restricting movement, something to do with propagating the, any idea that the world is a globe, and therefore people should, you know, form one kind of society around it. Like, you can probably go a couple of different places from the notion that the earth is not the shape they, with capital T, are telling us.
The sinister part of it is the part I don't think I necessarily get.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, I don't really know how it relates to any of those potential bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. Like, I don't know what, I don't understand how they would, do any kind of, you know, how anti-globalism, like, if the world was a big flat thing, it's still, mm-hmm. we could still say we're all in it together. We're all on this big flat thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. I said that from absolutely absolutely no knowledge. I was just making some guesses, because I could totally see a flat earth thing also being anti-globalist.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably definitely some, like, overlap.
Yeah.
There, you know, like, I'm sure that the people who believe in, like, one world order and all that shit, like,
mm-hmm.
But I just really wonder, like, why? Like, I just don't know. I don't see why they think they people would do the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq said this, though. He said, you know, I drive his quote. This was in the 92nd episode of The Big Podcast with Shaq, which is not him guesting. It is Shaq's podcast.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Like, yeah. I might listen to.
yeah. No, I listen to Shaq Radio a lot when I'm at work.
Mm,
yeah.
Claim the earth was flat by citing evidence that he drives from Florida to California. This shit is flat to me. And that China is not, quote unquote, under us.
Yeah.
That shit is flat to me.
It's a good joke. It's a really good joke.
It's a pretty funny joke. My arc was, you know, okay, Shaq, I'm a little bit disappointed.
Right.
Because this is clearly not true.
Yeah.
Two, I feel like you are such a creature of pure innocence and light that, like, I will forgive you for this transgression.
Yep, there we go. Yeah.
I was like, I want to take you like a baby bird and teach you in a non-judgy way.
Yeah.
Like, I would really like to, like, you to learn what is correct about this, but in a way that is very sweet and tender. Like,
it's pretty funny, because when we were in fifth grade, our science teacher demonstrated that the world is round by using a basketball with an index card taped to it and showing, like, hey, here's a ship showing up over the horizon. Here's how you can see the sail coming up. So, like, there is a language we could use to help convince him.
Mm-hmm. yeah. We just got to get him hooked up with some elementary school science teachers, you know? And then I found out he was kidding, and I was like, this is a good joke. And I wonder if he was covering up for something. Like, maybe he was like, yeah. And then he, like, later, like, people were like flipped out, and then he Googled it and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You know? Wait a minute.
Like, yeah. Shaq got it back up, you know? And then and took it slower.
Yeah.
So regardless of how he came to the conclusion, I think he legitimately doesn't believe it now.
Right.
But if he did, I still would nurse him to.
Yeah. It's
the regulation.
It's still fine. I don't know. I think Shaq is a funny person. I think Shaq is a very self-aware person.
Yeah.
You know, not every successful person is smart, but I feel like he has demonstrated enough savvy. For me to give him the benefit of the doubt.
It's because it's this conspiracy theory though,
right?
Because it's the one that is so far out. Because if he had been like, "Hey, vaccines cause autism," then it would just be a bummer.
Yeah,
you know, because people do believe that because there's a motivation on behalf of like their conspiracy as, you know, it's an antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas flat Earth, there's no antagonism. Like I don't understand, you know, what they're up against.
Mm. Well, I mean, it depends on who they are. Again, capital T they.
I mean the flat earthers.
No, I mean who
the new world order.
Yeah, who that they are, you know. Well, it's not necessarily the new world order. I think that's
group.
The Bilderberg group.
Illuminati's House of Pies, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know about conspiracies.
I know. No, I'm just saying this thing goes all the way to the top and beyond. Who can say what the top is, you know?
It's got to have a reason. Like there's got to be a way that these framing it into himself, man.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to a flat earther, like, and just actually ask that. Like, I can't find, it was just, I've done a little Google in here and I can't find anything.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I really want to know what they think is, what's the point? Why is anyone holding this for you?
This, this looks like a fascinating Wikipedia article because like it has a lot of historic perspective, a lot of, you know, pulling from the Islamic world or from China. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of interested in the way the different societies came to this, you know, kind of universe, came to this universal truth about it, you know. But then you also look at like, you know, here in the West, most of it was a religious thing. You know, you had Boethius, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all these medievalists who said, yes, anything against a flat world goes against God, you know?
Okay. Here, I found on their webpage, I found in their FAQ.
Okay.
Why they think this, there are three. So somebody asked them, why would people lie about the shape of the earth? Great question. There are three common explanations for this, but in the end, without, toppling the planner conspiracy, there's no way to know. So a little bit to what you're saying, like it goes all the way to the top. There's no point in even guessing, but. 3 points. To maintain legitimacy, during the Cold War, we faked the moon landing. Shortly after that, we realized the reason we could not reach the moon was due to the flatness of the Earth. They were stuck in a lie and had to continue it or lose the legitimacy of our government. Even today, we would still hold on to this lie due to the way that science, capital S, plays in ruling our government.
Yeah.
So it's covering up for the moon landing conspiracy.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous that we landed on the moon because everybody knows it's just the other side of the sun.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Point two, to hide the truth of the Bible. I don't really understand that point.
Mm-hmm.
Point three, to gain power and money by siphoning off of the space budget and denying the world the resources of the Antarctic, they gain a considerable amount of power on Earth.
Oh, yeah. They don't want people to go down there and find the Lang Peninsula or the Lang Plateau.
Plateau of Lang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And get sucked into fucking Yoga.
So it seriously is just like, hey, they're siphoning resources away from us to pay for a boondoggle in order to also obscure this huge. What do they think Antarctica is? Is it just the very borders of the Earth?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the edge of this like pie shaped thing.
Yeah. So
circumnavigation of the Earth is simply traveling a circular path around the North Pole.
I mean, in a way. Yeah.
What about day and night and sunrise and sunset? The sun simply illuminates only a portion of the Earth at a time. This also explains time zones.
Does it?
No.
I love these diagrams. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is pretty fascinating. What is the dome, the firmament, the vault of heaven? The area where we live on the flat Earth is encased within a dome or firmament. In some texts, this is also referred to as the vault of heaven. Found a very surprising amount of religions and societies, the ideas can be traced back to Babylonian, Sumerian, Egyptian, and Christian world events, and likely a great many more.
Yeah.
Even some Native American tribes are said to see the night sky like a tent of the stars. Those were little holes poked in the side of the tent. Boy.
What is gravity? Gravity as a theory is false. Objects simply fall. I love that. That's an amazing tautology. Is there an edge to the Earth? The Flat Earth Society, along with previous notable flatists, That's pretty great. Such as Samuel Shenton and S. Rowbottom believe there is no end to the Earth and that it continues indefinitely. The only edge to the Earth is the one you are standing on. Some math describing this can be found in our blog article, The Mathematics of an Infinite Earth. So basically, they think that Earth is Minecraft. And that link doesn't actually go anywhere.
The second fact question is, are you controlled opposition? And that is in caps. I don't know what that is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is very weird. There's literally no way my boy believes this.
Yeah, stuff. No, it's not. Well, I mean,
store coming soon.
It's a flat earth. I love the idea of a flat earth map. Like a globe, like a flat earth globe.
It's like a disc. It's like a pizza.
Yeah. No, I would love to have that. Yeah. Controlled opposition. A controlled opposition is a protest movement that is actually being led by government agents. Nearly all governments in history have employed this technique to trick and subdue their adversaries. Notably, Vladimir Lenin, who said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. So the idea being that, the government wants you to believe that the earth is round. So therefore, they will assemble this coterie of jackasses and crackpots in order to debunk the theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like a stretch. So that's Family Dog. Thank you for mandating this, Frothyham. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you would like to mandate a game or suggest a game or listen to more episodes of this podcast or support this podcast network, mm-hmm. you can do so by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yes. If you have backed at that level in the past and you haven't gotten the link to the forum to submit this, or if you haven't filled those out, please do. Even if you do not want to suggest a game, there's some people who have opted out, particularly people who really listen to a bunch of other shows and just, you know, don't want to do that. Still go in, fill out your name and just write NA or not applicable or no thank you or whatever. That way I can know and stop bothering you. If you're thinking, hey, where is my message? There's probably a message waiting for you in your email or on Patreon. They have an inbox kind of system. I've sent a couple of messages and, you know, those are trickling in. There's some people that have just been passed over, because they haven't filled it out. So just letting you know that is coming to you. I've kept track of it. You're still there. And if you have any questions about it, just let me know.
Yeah. Do those things.
Yeah.
I think that's probably good.
I think so. Yeah.
So thanks very much. Ratings, reviews, all that stuff is also useful. Mm-hmm. We really do appreciate it. And until next time, who is Glue Dog?